Thank you, David. Well, again, it's good to see you all. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like to read repeat to you again, or say again, why we have a burden to cover this matter of meeting, or how to meet, based on the book from messages given by our dear brother Lee back in 1969 and 70 in Los Angeles. And that is, number one, as we saw yesterday, the church life is simply the meetings of the church. It's a meeting life. We, the believers of the Lord, having been saved and redeemed, saved and regenerated, we now possess another life, a divine life. And everything that we do, the way we live, the way we walk, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we interact with one another, the way we have a social life, the way we have a community life, is something that belongs to a different realm anymore. The word church, ecclesia, means the called out assembly, the called out assembly. You know, even in the, you know, when Stephen was, before he was martyred, he gave a long, long message, this deacon of a brother who really knew the scriptures, and he talked about the Israel of old in the wilderness, and he would use the word church referring to them. So the church is really a definition, not only applicable to us, but it just have a certain meaning. When there is a group of people that is called out, right, and to assemble together, that's the church. Somewhere in the book of Acts, it talks about, you know, certain of these people in some cities, secular, they assemble together to talk about legal things and, you know, civic matters in those days. And they use the word church there. So this word church is not what you and I would call a religious term. It just means the people that have been called out from what is common, called out from what is where people are, for what, to assemble together with a purpose. And so this is the church. The church we are the called out ones. We've been called out from the world, haven't we? We've been called out from everything common. We've been called out from darkness and the kingdom of darkness. We've been called out from sin. We've been called out from everything unto God. We are now a people of God. We belong to Him. And we're not even just the Old Testament Jews, the Israelites, you know, because of the covenant God made with their forefathers. Now they are set apart as a peculiar treasure unto Jehovah, but they were still people without the life of God, without the divine nature of God, and they were just simply God's outward people. They're chosen, no doubt. But it's outward. But no, we are not. We are much more than that. We have been, brothers and sisters, saved. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And we have the life Christ as our life. He came into us as the life-giving spirit, into our spirit, to regenerate our spirit. And in that very act of dispensing, when the Lord died on the cross, He released His life, right? And in a resurrection, that life was imparted into us, and we were all regenerated. We were all begotten to become sons of God. Today, we are not just the outward people of God. We are God's children. God is our Father. We are in another family. Am I right? We've been called out from all of that into Himself. We have been all, even not just gone, say, we've been baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been immersed into this mysterious organic union with the very triune God Himself. Today, we are people who are in Christ, aren't we? Today, we're people who are in the triune God. We are, we have this organic union with Him. We are one with Him. We are a different people. Altogether, we are a different people, unlike the people of the world. And so as such a people, we have also a communal life. We have also a social life, if you will. And what is that? That is simply the church. This church did not exist before all this happened. But after Christ has went through His processes, after Christ have been completed in this way, after Christ has dispensed Himself through His death and especially in His resurrection, bringing us forth, bringing forth His many, many brothers, many sons of God, there is something new on the earth that never existed. And there's no name for this. Well, eventually there is a name, and that name is what in English we say church. Actually, that again means the called out assembly. There is a called out assembly here, all right? And that's what we are. That's what we are. And with this church, since they are assembly, their main life, their characteristic is their gathering, is their meeting, is their coming together. That is not some religious thing. You know, Easter, we go to meet in the cathedral. You know, Christmas, we do the mass. Once a week, we show up at the 10 o'clock church service. No. These are just like religious assignments, religious arrangements, and to meet in a way of with just formalities. It's programmatic. It is in many cases with certain kind of rituals. And you also have a clerical class, a special professional class of people running these things, operating these things. We just go there and sit. We go there and listen. We go there and respond or whatever it is. Brothers, this is all something of religion. This is not the church that God wants. And surely those are not the kind of church meetings that God wants to have. Then you would ask, well, that being the case, how should we meet? And this is why this book is so utterly wonderful. And I still hope that you would all get this book. I hope the brothers in the different churches will take the lead and help the saints to read this book. Now, I said already, this is not a manual, okay? This is not some instruction manual that will give you the technicalities, that will give you the methods and ways to do something. No, but this book supply us with wonderful scriptural principles based on the revelation, the divine revelation, and to show us what the principles of how we should meet. And this is it is just beyond words. And today I'm going to do the impossible again, and so you can pray for me right now. And that is, there are 14 wonderful principles of how the New Testament Church of God should assemble, should meet, should gather. And these are not in the form of A, 1 and 2 and 3 and A and B and C. The Lord Jesus never do that. But I will tell you that today, all these scriptures, you can look at it, are based on portions or accounts or stories or record of how the disciples, the first saints of the Lord, met after Jesus was resurrected, after that first, on the first day of the week, beginning on that day when Christ rose from the dead, when Christ was made alive and was raised from the dead by the Father. And how the Lord, what the Lord told the disciples to do, and how the Lord met with them. And from there on, not only one time, there was another time, there was a third time, there was time sometimes with a couple of them. You remember the two on the way of to Emmaus? That is a marvelous, marvelous picture of how to meet. And we can see this here today in one of those principles, the resurrection night. The resurrection night, they were just all trembling. They discover the empty tomb. They met the some saw the angel. Am I right? The angels to tell them what has happened to the Lord. And they will gather out of fear that evening. Right, the atmosphere is still one of persecution. They have just crucified the Lord Jesus, and these were his disciples. They were just afraid in this room somewhere. And suddenly, out of a sudden, marvelously, Jesus Christ showed up. And what he did there, and what he said there. And then a week later, 7 days later, he came again for the sake of one person who missed the meeting. Brothers and sisters, don't miss the meeting. And that was something someone called famously the doubting Thomas. And for this person, the Lord showed up again and revealed himself in resurrection to him. It's mind-boggling, but that he did. And then afterwards, he showed himself at the seashore. And they were in a bit of a backslidden situation. They're fishing again, you know. The Lord called Peter when he was fishing. Remember in the Gospels, early on, the Lord called Peter when he was fishing, doing some kind of a miracle, and called Peter, follow me. And at the end of John, the last of the first four Gospels, the Lord came again in that backslidden state. You know, Peter was taking the lead to go fishing again, you know. And there the Lord was on the shore again, preparing breakfast for them and telling them how to fish. These are a bunch of professionals and didn't catch a fish the whole night, the time to fish. And miraculously, they gained 153 big fish. Am I right? And Peter saw that, jumped into the water, came to the seashore. The Lord fed them. They didn't feed the Lord. The Lord fed them. And the Lord talked to them. And he told Peter again, you follow me. Follow me. You see, brothers and sisters, in all of this, we saw how the believers met, how the resurrected Christ met with his brothers, met with his, not just disciples anymore. These are his brothers. These are his own. These are his members. These are ones who are one with him now. And so we see that. And then elsewhere we see in Matthew, we read in Mark, we read in Luke, what the Lord did, you know, meeting with them in Galilee, all right, and then later on back to Jerusalem, and all the way until in the book of Acts in the first chapter about even that meeting where while they were meeting, he ascended to the heavenlies. How about that? Even that shows us how we should meet. all these principles, wonderful divine principles, how to meet, were demonstrated to us. They were not rules. They were not programs. They were not instructions in that kind of a way. The Lord just met with them, and marvelously, we can find out how we should meet according to all the principles of meeting from these accounts. And today there are 14 of them. How can I speak about 14 principles in a thorough way in now less than an hour? So I could only devote 2 minutes to each principle. So what am I doing here, my brothers and sisters? All I am doing is opening up the can. You have to dig in. All right. All I'm doing here is whetting your appetite. You have to get into them. I really hope the leading brothers would do that. And you would all do that. And not only to get into these things and enjoy these things and see some revelation here, but I hope you will be stirred up. You will be just inspired to practice these things. All right, to do these things, not just to understand and appreciate, but to do these things. And more than that, I hope your heart will be stirred up. You know, those two on the way to Emmaus, and this stranger joined them because the Lord did not manifest himself. He was present with them, but they couldn't recognize him because he has not manifested himself yet. And then until the very end, when the Lord was going to continue, they constrained him to stay with them, and they broke bread. And that's the time when the eyes were open. Am I right? The Lord manifested to them. They say, "This is the Lord." And they said what? They said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us these things?" Because the Lord on that journey of, it's about the distance about 7 miles, all right? To Emmaus from Jerusalem, and over that's a long walk, okay? And the Lord took time to open the scriptures, to use the scriptures to reveal how the scriptures, what, testify of him, of Jesus. They now see him. My goodness, can you imagine if you were one of those two? You would be excited. You would be ecstatic. You would be jumping up and down. You would say, "We saw the Lord. He spoke to us," just the two brothers, not even part of the 11 apostles or disciples. It's just the two of them. The Lord show himself to them. My goodness, I tell you, even two or three of us are gathered together, the Lord Jesus promised, "I will be with you. I will be in your midst." I tell you, it's not the two, it's not exciting, but enter the third man, enter the Jesus. I tell you, that changes everything. That is how the New Testament meeting should be, with the presence of the resurrected Christ. This excites us. This should make us go crazy, brothers and sisters. And sorry to say, over many years, I felt that our meetings have somewhat degenerated, have gone downhill. We don't have this kind of feeling or anticipation when we come to the meeting. We're not just coming to see one another. We're coming to meet the Lord. Or rather, the Lord is going to mysteriously show up and meet with us and speak to us and open the scriptures to us and breathe the Holy Spirit into us and give us peace. Am I right? And we can touch him. We can enjoy him. We can speak to him. We can even satisfy him by giving him a piece of fish. You know, that the disciples did that. And he satisfies us. You can see, brothers and sisters, I'm crazy right now. Okay. And that's how we should be. And I feel that excitement, that dynamism, that joy, that anticipation is somewhat gone. I mean, even in our local church meetings, we may be meeting. Last night was a very important message. We should meet on the right ground. We should be meeting in the position of the church. We should never meet in the position of division, all right? And that's why we cannot meet as denominations. We cannot even meet as so-called free groups. We must meet as the church of God in a city on the ground of genuine oneness, and it, which is the oneness of the triune God and oneness of the Spirit. And administratively, this is very, very important. We have no choice where we can meet. God has already ordained, go there and meet in that place where I put my name there in Deuteronomy 12, in type. In reality today, we meet in this place where Christ is. And that is the place that God has chosen to maintain the unity, the oneness of all of God's people. So this is the only place to meet. And this is the first point. Today, we have to go on to these, through these principles to begin to see how we should meet. Again, not in the way of what programmed instructions, all right? But in the way these experiences, these record, accounts in the end of the Gospels and the beginning of Acts to see just how we should meet. Now, I still have to say one more thing, and that is, as I was here getting ready, just came to me again very, very naturally, John chapter 4. Talk about how we should worship. You know, the Lord Jesus was there, right, meeting with this Samaritan woman, and they had a conversation. And what happened? They start talking about worship. Or you may say, talking about how we should meet, because our meeting is to worship God. In the Old Testament, they did that in the tabernacle. They did that in the temple, in this physical location, with physical offerings and with all kinds of rituals and ordinances to do these things, to worship God. They have to worship here and not there. That is in the Old Testament. They have to be in Jerusalem. That is in the Old Testament with the physical Jerusalem. But here, the Lord Jesus, this is even before he was crucified and resurrected, in talking to this lady, give him this vital principles right there. You know, the woman said, we worship in this mountain, you, the Jews, worship in Jerusalem. And the Lord say, stop it, her and say, stop right there. Believe me, an hour is coming. An hour is coming. All right. What is that hour? That is his death and resurrection, opening up the New Testament dispensation in a full way. And he said, you won't be, it's neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem. You will worship the Father. An hour is coming. What he said, when the true worshipers, brothers and sisters, we, the New Testament believers, are the true worshipers. Those in the Old Testament, they are not the true worshipers. We are the true worshipers. We worship the Father. We'll worship the Father, the Lord said, in spirit and in reality. These are the two master guiding principles, in spirit and in reality, not in a mountain somewhere, not in a room somewhere, not in a meeting hall somewhere. We meet in all kinds of places. But the real place we meet is the spirit, is the mingled spirit. That's where the Lord is. That is the real temple. That is the real tabernacle. That is the place where we meet the Lord, because that's where he lives, in us. So we worship the Father in spirit and what? And in truthfulness, in reality. What is reality? all things, we just sang the song, the only reality in this universe is Christ. Christ is the only reality of all things, all the positive things in this universe. And so we worship him in spirit, and we worship the Father by what? Bringing Christ, by offering Christ that we have enjoy, by offering the Jesus that we have experienced as in place of the Old Testament offerings of bulls, of goats, of turtle doves, all kinds of things in the Old Testament. No, in the New Testament, we bring Christ as the reality of the all the offerings to worship God. And God, because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. So, dear saints, right there is the principle, and we will see this. We will continue to see this weekend. Now, we need a recovery, brothers and sisters. After a long time, even the church meetings today is not up to the standard. Rather, we slipped from even the place that we have arrived in. Look, today in the Lord's recovery, we are blessed, immensely blessed with an interpreted Bible, don't we? The recovery version. We have been blessed with this full and rich and the highest ministry. We even have the high peak of the divine revelation. The whole Bible is open to us. We know so many things. We have been, returned from the place of divisions back to the place of oneness, meeting on the ground of locality. That is not a small thing. And we have all these things. Yet, brothers and sisters, our meeting life, our meeting experience is not up to par, not up to the standard of what is revealed in the Word. Not even up to the standard of where we once were. For this reason, I feel there needs to be a renewal, a revival, a reinvigoration, a revitalization of our meeting life everywhere. In your church, I don't care if your church has 30 people. I don't care if your church has 300 people. It is the same. We need a what? A change. We need a fresh return. We need an advance even, not to go back to some good old days in Eldon Hall. We need to go further with what we have been blessed with. Brothers and sisters, we need a meeting life that is living, that is rich, that is vital, that is full, that is filled with Christ, that is filled with satisfaction to the Father and to ourselves. And especially when we are in the church life, it would be something that even would be so attractive, so subduing, so persuasive and convincing to the seekers, to the new believers, even to the unbelievers. When they come to the meeting, they will not only meet us, they will meet Jesus. They will not just meet with us, they will see the resurrected Christ with us. And they will be fed in our singing, in our prayer, as the song, the hymn that we just sang. Christ will be exhibited. Christ will be shown. The meetings won't be empty. The meeting will not be just dead. The meetings won't be weak. The meetings won't be just a few functioning. But all of us, his members, his brothers, all of us would be there. What? Displaying, exhibiting Christ, rendering the Father the real worship. So you can see my burden. I'm burdened to just discharge the burden within me. This is Very. I just pray, you know, the Mid-Atlantic churches here, I understand maybe the Mountain States churches are here. Oh, I wish the churches in this country will experience a revival in our meeting life. In our meeting life, that is possible, and that should be. May these points inspire us to action. All right, now I don't have much time left, and I will just say something, and please, you get into the ministry excerpts, and you get the book. All right, and you read these portions of the scriptures. I have all the scriptures listed in front of me, page after page. I don't have the time. Please get into them. All right, in the coming days. Oh, Lord Jesus, do something, Lord, in your recovery in this way. Amen. Okay, message two, principles of meetings from the Gospel and the Acts. Okay, you've got to read the portions of the scriptures to appreciate it, and read it carefully, and even pray read them. Number one, at the end of the four Gospels, we have the record of the Lord after his resurrection, meeting with his disciples many times. You see, those, you know, do a study of post-resurrection, all right? There's pre-resurrection in these, in the Gospels of the Lord's life and ministry on the earth. That is pre-resurrection, and they're wonderful. But let us study to know how to meet as New Testament believers. We need to study post-resurrection and pre-ascension, all right? Post-resurrection, through ascension, I should not say pre-ascension, through ascension, and this would give us an indication of the principles how to meet. Now, after this, even this weekend, there's a lot more to say concerning how to meet by studying the epistles. We don't have the time this weekend. We will have to have another conference to bring forth the principles of how to meet as shown in the epistles. All right. But let us just stay with the Lord Jesus, right? The fresh resurrected Christ, in how, he met with his people. All right. We can see 14 principles of how to meet. I think in the book, it's in two chapters. I think we combine them here. Number one, when we read Matthew 28, okay, these are the chapters you have to read in Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20 and 21, Acts 1 and 2. Go back and read these chapters. These seven precious chapters, all right, of how the Lord trained the disciples in the way they should meet. We see that the disciples did nothing but meet. How about that? They just met. They just met. They didn't do many things. That came later. They just met. They just met. Meeting together became their life. It's as if the Lord, before he ascended, before he departed from them, he taught them, just meet. You are meeting people. You're the church, the assembly. The meeting together became their life, their business, their occupation. That means their career. They are simply a meeting people. Brothers and sisters, we are a meeting people. We don't choose to meet or not meet. We are just meeters. We live to meet, and we meet to live. B, we need to take the new way of meeting. This is not the Old Testament way. This is not the Jewish way, all right, of meeting. This is a whole brand new way of meeting, which is fully revealed in all the records of the Lord Jesus meeting with his disciples. In these occasions, we see him setting up the principles of meetings. No manuals, but the principles are seen here. All right, okay. Let's start with the first principle. We need to meet outside of religion and without any forms. No temple here. No form, no rituals here. No ordinances here. No programs here. They are totally outside of that old dead religion of Judaism. It is God's religion. But by then it has been abandoned by the Lord. It's over. It's of a different dispensation. Today we have to be out of that old religion. And then this kind of new way of meeting is without forms. You just don't know what will happen. We don't know. It is without forms. We only have the Spirit. We only have His presence. We have His word. But we don't have any kind of forms. You say that is scary. I say this is marvelous. Marvelous. All the disciples were godly Jewish people. That's their background, the first group of disciples. All God's people, according to their religion, went to the temple to meet and to worship, to offer the sacrifice, to observe the rituals, and to keep the forms. That's what they did. And they have a bunch of priests to lead them how to do these things. However, not one of the meetings that the Lord Jesus had with the disciples after his resurrection was held in the old religious way. Actually, even when they were following the Lord before the Lord died, the Lord was already somewhat training them in that way. They never met in the temple. They were never met in with all those formalities. They were just with Jesus. They were in the wheat field. They were in the seashore. They were in the mountains. As long as Jesus is there, everything is a-okay. They were meeting in a proper way without formalities, nothing religious. B, today in principle, we're in the same situation as the early disciples. We also have a religious background. This country is a Christian country, so to speak. Less and less so, but there's still a lot of Christian influence. There's a lot of religious background with the present-day temples, present-day rituals, present-day forms. However, religion for us must be a thing of the past. Now, may I say this, brothers and sisters, even in the local churches, our meeting could become religious. 60 years on now, the Lord's recovery in this country from 1962 to next year, 2022, 60 long years. Even our church meetings can become a religious thing, can become a programmed thing. We need to fight against that. We must meet in a living way with the living resurrected Christ. We must meet and live in meet in the Spirit, in the mingled Spirit. In Romans, it says what? We do not serve in the oldness of the letter, the ordinances, the instructions, the rules, but in the newness of Spirit. Only the Spirit is new, is present, is fresh. So we need to meet in this new way. And the second principle, we need to meet in resurrection as the Lord's brothers. Oh, don't you love this point? You know, today we're meeting in resurrection. The Brother Lee said, you know, in the life study, I think, of Ephesians, he defined the church with three kind of words he concocted, he invented. He said the church, number one, is Christly. Number two, the church is resurrectionly. The third thing is the church is heavenly. Well, the third one is a proper word. But these three things describe the condition of the church, the nature of the church. The church is not earthly, right? The church is not without Christ. That is not the church, right? The church is in resurrection. Anything before resurrection, anything not in resurrection, is still something of the old creation. The church is a new man, a new creation in Christ. Today, brothers and sisters, every time you go to a meeting, wherever that meeting is, with the saints, in the hall, in the home, we have to remember this, we are in resurrection. We are in actually the heavens. And I would even say, you will see in the next message, we're not only in resurrection, we're in ascension. We are raised with Christ, and we're seated together with him in the heavenlies, the church. That's where we are. And not only so, we have a particular status. A status, a post-resurrection status. We're not only believers, we're not only disciples, we're not only followers of the Lord. We are the Lord's brothers. We have his same life. We have his share his nature. We are in God's family. We are God's species. We are his brothers. This is a brothers meeting. Sisters, you are brothers too. You are female brothers. We are all brothers of Jesus. We're meeting as such. My goodness, my goodness. And the big brother is always there. And our father is always there. This should be our meeting. Every time we meet, we should have that kind of consciousness, that kind of belief. A, when we were born again through the resurrection Christ, so we became his brothers. On resurrection morning, the Lord told Mary the Magdalene, go tell my brothers. My goodness, do you know what that means? It never happened in this universe. A group of human beings have become Jesus' brothers in spirit. My goodness, my goodness. Go tell my brothers. I'm going to ascend to my God, who is now their God, my Father, who is their Father now. God is our Father, brothers and sisters. It's not sitting there in some cathedral singing holy, holy, holy. No, we have a daddy. We have a big bro, okay? Brothers and sisters, I mean, this is just unbelievable. This is reality. B, whenever we come to the meetings, we must come as the Lord's brothers in resurrection. Do you have that kind of sensation? I'm just a Christian. I'm just a member of this local church. So I show up? No, you are the Lord's brothers and you are in resurrection. Therefore, we should never bring anything of the old nature into the meeting. This is basic. Everything of the old religion doesn't belong here. We're a new kind of people in a new kind of family. See, when we come to the meetings, we should not look at ourselves, but at him. You know, the tendencies look poor me, I'm terrible, I'm no good. But how about turn and look away unto Jesus, our big brother? How about he is perfect? He is victorious. He is in resurrection. He is ascended. He is in the heavenlies. He is in glory. How about look at him for a change? My, if you look at him in this way, you will be uplifted. You will not be crawling on the earth like a worm. We will not be always fixated on our defeat, on our failures. We should not look at our situation, but look at him. Look at him, brothers and sisters. Come to the meeting and look at him. Where is he? He is on the throne. The blood covers all our failures. Amen? Just confess our sins and apply his powerful, precious blood. And immediately by applying the blood, we can be in resurrection in the third heavens. That translation, that means we right away can be in our spirit. Right away, we can be in our spirit. And to be in our mingled spirit is to be in resurrection and to be in the heavenlies. That is a reality. The holiest place, okay, is, according to Hebrews, is our spirit. It is joined with what? The heavenlies. And that's why we come to the throne of grace. This is basically to turn to our spirit. So brothers, how do we meet as the Lord's brothers? We meet in the spirit, coming to the spirit, looking at him, praising him. Okay, another principle. I'm already way behind. We need to meet with some personal experiences of Christ. You know, many come to the meeting, Christians, they just come to listen. They come, you know, the famous saying, we come empty and we leave filled. Well, that you cannot say is wrong, but a bit religious. Do you know that you should come filled? Not empty. You need to bring something. Where is the concept that we should come to meetings with something? Then you say, then we will go empty? No, I guarantee you, you won't go empty. Because I bring something, you bring something, Christ brings something, we meet together. I will actually have a lot of leftovers after the meeting to bring home. I come full, I come go away even more full. I come fill, I would leave even more fill. That's how a proper church meeting should be. So we need to bring Christ. We need to bring some experiences, some wonderful, some private experiences, even some particular, peculiar experiences of Christ in the day. Something you see in the Word, something you are touched by the Lord, some experience, living experiences of the Lord you bring to the meeting. Now, look here. Hey, many of the disciples in the early days before they were in the meetings had some wonderful, precious experiences of Christ. So the example of the two on Emmaus, they have a living experience of Christ that day. And that evening, they returned back to Jerusalem and was with the disciples. I believe they couldn't stop speaking. We met this guy who joined us. And then we were at this place. We broke bread and suddenly, whoa, this is Jesus. You know, we met Jesus today. They were just talking. They were overflowing with a fresh experiences of the Lord. That's a principle of our church meetings. Don't ever come empty-handed. And that's why in our daily life, we need to experience Christ all the time. We need to turn to him, touch him, experience him, read his word, pray. We will accumulate these experiences of the Lord, and it's not just for our own edification. It is for us to bring to the meetings with the saints, to offer these experiences up to God the Father, and also to share it with the brothers and sisters so that we can eat and enjoy together. You bring something, I bring something. Every meeting should be a potluck. All right? We also need to have this kind of personal experience of our dear Lord in our daily life. Then when we come to the meeting, we have something bubbling, overflowing from us. When was the last time you bubble your way to the meeting? When was the last time you couldn't wait to get into the car because you just can't contain yourself? You just want to find someone to overflow your precious experiences of the Lord. When was the last time? No wonder our meetings are empty. No wonder our meetings are just not much there. You know, who wants to go to a potluck? And you go show up there, you know, really hungry, and there's only two plates, one with a few stale nuts, all right? The other one with a few pieces of stale bread. I'm going to turn around and walk away. This is not a potluck, okay? A lot of our meetings are like that. Nothing to eat. No one brought anything. And so we have endured an empty meeting, a silent meeting, no one offering anything of the fresh experiences of Christ, no bubbling, no overflowing. This is wrong, brothers and sisters. This is wrong. This is so unsatisfactory to the Lord, not only to us. So let us even have our daily life, brothers and sisters, is for the church life. We need to have a rich daily life to have a rich meeting life. You know, someone said, when we get up in the morning, we're starting our journey to the meeting that evening. The whole day was a journey to the meeting. And the whole day we're here to, what? To experience the Lord in this journey, right? To pick up the experiences of the Lord. It may be small, but we pick up some experiences of the Lord during the day. So when we come to the meeting, we do not come empty-handed. We have something to contribute with which to satisfy the Lord. Okay, the next principle, we need to meet at the place appointed by the Lord. Now see, these are, if you study, you need some revelation when you study these passages. In Matthew 28, verse 7 and 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus directed them. The Lord, after having met with them in Jerusalem, instructed them that they that need to go to Galilee, to another mountain there, and they show up there and they worship the Lord. All right, this is just what happened. So here it says, the Lord went far to the north to Galilee to meet with his disciples. He did this deliberately, purposely, to move the Christian meeting away from the Jewish religious center. The Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. So initially, the Lord met the disciples there, but he charged them to go to Galilee. Go to Galilee, and he would spend time with them there. All right, away from that religious center. The Lord wanted the meetings to be absolutely removed from religion, outside of religion. Today, in principle, we have no right to choose a place to meet. We all must meet in the place appointed by the Lord that we come back to last night. You and I have no right to choose the place to meet. You know, in Judges, we just studied Judges. Everyone did what is right in their own eyes. We don't have that right to choose where we should meet, right? The Lord has determined where we should meet. We should meet on the ground of oneness in our locality, right? We should meet in the place appointed by the Lord. Okay. You know, brothers and sisters, by the way, you know, every time we meet, we should have the understanding, all right, the appreciation that we actually did not gather ourselves. Yes, the elders make the announcement, you know, the this week's schedule of the meeting, but we must have the deep sensation. Who called this meeting? The Lord called this meeting. Every meeting is called by the Lord. The Lord called us into his name. If you gather together into my name, he is the one who brought us together. He is the one who assembled us. He is the factor of our coming together. Without the Lord, you can call a meeting. I can call a meeting. If the Lord is not there, that is not a real meeting. The Lord called us together. The Lord appointed us to come together. If that is the case, for sure the Lord will be there, because he called it, he appointed it, and surely he will show up. We have to have this faith. We have to have this faith. Lord, we meet because you have gathered us. You have assembled us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the next principle, we need to meet with the Lord himself. Now, this is a big one. So I'm definitely not going to finish all these items. We need to meet with the Lord himself. Matthew 28:7. What does it say? Matthew 28:7. This is the last chapter. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead. The angels said, actually, in that resurrection morning. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. The Lord went to Galilee already, the resurrected Christ. He went to Galilee before you all. He's going to be there preparing, waiting for you. Just like at the Sea of Tiberias, the Lord is on the shore with cooked fish. When we come, you know, always in the meeting, there was someone there already, and that is Jesus. He's always the first to the meeting, waiting for us to meet him. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is the principle. And say, there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And the Lord Jesus met them after they heard this from the angels, right? Jesus said, go and report to my brothers. What a sweet, sweet address, my brothers, and that they should all go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The Lord called the meetings. Every meeting of the church is called by the Lord. And when we go to the meeting, which it's with the explicit purpose of meeting him. Brothers, to meet him. Don't you anticipate the next church meeting? We're going to meet him. I'm not just going to meet you. Of course I will. But we are all coming to meet him. And he's waiting for us. You know, we have these two hymns, 204, 215. Those are two quite marvelous hymns that you should sing it, you know. Gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, what losing sight of all but thee. Oh, what joy thy presence gives us, calling up our hearts to thee. I mean, that sensation. You know, this, of course, these are Lord's Table songs, you know, but I don't know whether at the Lord's Table we are really caught up by this or not. Jesus, Lord, we know thee present at thy table freshly spread, seated at thy priceless banquet with thy banner overhead. Precious moments at thy table from all fear and doubt set free, here to rest so sweetly able, occupied alone with thee. When we in a meeting where Jesus is not there, that is not the right meeting to be in. We should be filled with joy, filled with rejoicing, filled with anticipation. I'm going to meet my Lord with my brothers. How about that? You will look forward to the meetings. I am concerned that some saints, the church meetings have become optional. I'm concerned because of this, especially with this pandemic and some of us getting Zoom fatigue. You will lose taste for the meeting. You will not deem the meetings important. But brothers and sisters, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's in person, whether it's in Jerusalem, whether it's in Galilee, we are about to meet him, to meet Jesus. I mean, what can warm your hearts? What will excite you? What will make you happy than to look forward to meeting this one, the one who loved us and the one whom we love? To enjoy his presence. When we come to a meeting, we need to have a deep realization. Oh, I read this already. That the only purpose is to meet with our dear Lord Jesus. We go to the meeting not to hear a great speaker, but to meet Jesus. We do not go to the meeting to listen to a good message, but to meet our Lord. There may be a little message. There may be certain kind of speaking. But oh, the inward feeling is, Lord, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to see you. I'm not going to hear you. And I'm going to dare to what? To receive you again. This is a principle of our meeting. Now, I don't know what to do. I'm actually gone fully my 1 hour time. I don't know what to do with this remaining points. Can you get into it yourselves? Huh? Well, let me just, how about just give me time just to read it, okay? I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to read it. I think even reading it should excite us. Okay, the next principle, we need to meet to satisfy the Lord and be satisfied by him. The meaning and purpose of proper meeting is to give the Lord something to eat. They gave the Lord the fish to eat, and the Lord ate it in one of those meetings. And also for him to give us something to eat. That is at the Sea of Tiberias. Here, eat. It was breakfast. It was a breakfast meeting. B, to eat is to meet is to eat. How do you like that? To meet is to eat. For us and the Lord to mutually feed one another. We feed him, he feeds us. He feeds us. Our meeting must be a kind of meeting, a kind of feasting. We bring something as a feast for Christ, and Christ brings something as a feast for us. Both of us will leave that meeting full, right? With joy, satisfied. The next principle, we need to meet to worship the Lord. In Matthew 28, when the disciples saw the Lord Jesus on the mountain, immediately they worship him. When we meet with the Lord in his resurrection, we have to worship him. Actually, when this is New Testament worship, when we're with the Lord, when we meet, that very meeting, that very act of meeting is an act of worship. This is why it's not a form. It's not this kind of thing. It's a real New Testament worship. To worship him means to adore and exalt him as the very Lord in our spirit. You know, not only at the Lord's table, all our meetings is to adore and exalt and glorify him as our Lord. Especially at the Lord's table. Oh, I have a lot to say about the Lord's table. Our Lord's table is not filled with praise, not filled with exaltation, not filled with blessing and well-speaking of the Lord, telling him how wonderful he is, telling him what he has, how great the things he has done, telling him how much we love him, just overflowing from our heart, from our spirit, one after another, all the saints. We meet to worship the Lord. The next principle, we need to meet to be breathed upon by the Lord. That's resurrection night. In John 20, in the first meeting after his resurrection, the Lord came to his disciples, and the main thing he did was to breathe upon them. This was their basic need, and this is also our basic need. You know, when we come to the meeting, we should go get ready, get our lungs ready to breathe him in. Once again, he will come and said what? And he will breathe on us and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Every time we come to the meeting, we should come to receive the Spirit. We have received the Spirit, but we need to receive more of that Spirit of Christ. If we're open to Him, He's breathing out and we're breathing in. We come together not to receive some teaching, but to be breathed upon by the Lord Jesus. If you go to a meeting and you didn't get that breath, that meeting is somewhat wasted. I hope in this meeting, you're receiving some holy breath from, not from me, but from the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. And He said, peace be to you. When we have the Spirit, brothers and sisters, we have peace. These days, look at the world is full of what? Chaos. Where is the real peace? The real peace is in the Spirit, is of the Spirit that comes from the Lord's breathing into us. When we leave a meeting, we have to say, oh, I receive His breath. I receive the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is His dispensing. Every meeting is for this dispensing of this process and consummated and complete triune God into us. Okay, we meet. Another principle for the Lord speaking. In all these cases of the Lord meeting with His disciples after His resurrection, He spoke to them. Whenever we come together, we also need the Lord speaking. The Lord speaking is something new, something which is not constant, but instant and up to date. You know, when you come to a proper meeting, you just sense the Lord speaking within. There may be a brother speaking there, a sister prophesying there. But it's not just that. There is, while they are speaking, the Lord is speaking within us. The Lord, as the rhema word, the instant word, is quickening us, saying something to us, convicting us, adjusting us, exposing us, enlightening us, supplying us. There's something so instant, so fresh of the Lord speaking to us personally. This should characterize the meeting, our meetings. Another principle, we need to meet to know Christ according to the Scriptures. It was not until His resurrection that the Lord met with His disciples and purposely opened their understanding by opening the Scriptures. And that's why in our meeting, one indispensable ingredient is the Word, not just the Spirit, but the Word also. In John, when the Lord met with the disciples, the emphasis was the breathe out Spirit. In Luke, if you read Luke, the account, the emphasis there was in the Lord's opening their understanding of the Scriptures, going back to what? To Moses, to the Psalms, to the prophets. The Lord opened the Scriptures to them to tell them how all of this refer to Him, testify of Him, to see Christ in the Scriptures. So there are times when we meet together to study the Word, whether you call it Bible study or not, to study the Word. But even those meetings should be what? A principle. This principle should operate in those meetings. And that is why? That is Christ. That is what? That is to know Christ according to the Scriptures. Every meeting should cause us to know our dear Christ a little bit more through His Word, through the interpretation of His Word, through the open Bible. Oh, did not our heart burn within us when the Lord opened our understanding? Oh, this kind of burning heart should be a sign that this is a right meeting, right? And the next principle, we need to meet to see the resurrected and ascended Christ. We'll cover that in the next outline. the next session. The disciples met with the resurrected and ascended Christ in their meetings. In all our meetings, we need to see that the very Christ with whom we're meeting is the resurrected one and also the ascended one. We'll cover that later. The next principle, we need to meet for the Lord's commission. In a proper meeting, another principle is the Lord will commission us with something. When the Lord met with his disciples after his resurrection, he gave them a commission. Today, if we meet in the proper way, surely he will commission with something by the Lord. We will be. There should be some kind of burden transmitted from the Lord to us. In what? Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, all that happened. After they met with the Lord left them with a commission, go. Go to do something. All authority is given to me, right? You go. And what? And to disciple the nations, baptize the nation, teach the nation. Every time after we meet with the Lord, there's always some fresh burden that will be deposited into us, some fresh commission transmitted into us. Isn't this wonderful? This is just wonderful. Okay, the next principle, we need to meet to pray. In Acts 1, we see that after the disciples met with the Lord Jesus, after they saw him ascend to the heavens, they returned to Jerusalem according to the Lord's instructions to wait there, right, for the promise of the Father, the promise of the Spirit that is on the day of Pentecost. And they were occupied continually in prayer. All right. This is the what? This is the church meeting in Jerusalem, right? Even before the Pentecost, there was the first church meeting. They were assembled together. They were the assembly. And they start with 10 days of prayer. And those disciples with the women, they continue steadfastly in one accord in prayer for 10 days. They didn't do that much. Oh, brothers and sisters, our prayer meetings. Twos or threes in small groups, when the church come together, the prayer times. Okay, the last principle, we need to meet for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples met together, suddenly the Holy Spirit filled the room where they were sitting, and they were all clothed with power from on high. In many meetings, we need this kind of empowering. When we are meeting in the proper way, suddenly we will be empowered from the heavens. I don't know. When was the last time you experienced this? In my experience, especially in those early years, we have this. When we met, and there is just a kind, not just the Lord would be experienced by us as life to supply us, but we would experience a kind of particular empowering by the economical spirit. And we would be empowered by the Lord, in fact, to execute and carry out the very commission that he has given to us. This is not what we call today the Pentecostal style of meetings, you know, to do miracles, to speak in tongues, not in that way. But it is by faith that we would what enjoy and experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit for our empowerment, for our strength to what? To do his work and carry out his commission in the church life. Okay, I went beyond my time, broke my own promise. Apologize for that. I hope this is good. Did you receive the Spirit?
Amen.
Did the Lord open some more understanding of himself? I hope that you will get into these things much, much more, and you will practice these things in a new way. May our meetings be revolutionized again according to these principles. This is the God-ordained way for us to meet. All right, I stop here, Brother David.